Hey, good morning. It's Patricia Murphy. It's Friday. This is Seattle Now. This week, we're getting a visit from the president. You can even ride public transit maskless to a Mariners game. Just be prepared for the new song during the seventh inning stretch. The Seattle Times' Esme Jimenez and TBTL's Andrew Walsh are here to break it all down. But first, let's get you caught up. President Biden is in town for day two of his PNW trip. Media reports say he'll be making stops at Seward Park this morning, then heading over to Green River College. He's expected to sign an executive order to protect old-growth forests and reduce the risk of wildfires that have been devastating the West. Biden won't be here for long. He'll split by this afternoon. And a reminder, we shut down the freeway when the president's motorcade is on it, so WashDOT is warning there's likely to be traffic on I-5 and downtown throughout the day. Meanwhile, the Seattle celebrity CEO who cut his salary to boost his employees' pay is facing assault charges. Dan Price of Gravity Payments is accused of forcing a woman to kiss him in his car, then grabbing her throat when she tried to push him away. Price's attorney told the Seattle Times the allegations are absolutely false. The woman told police that Price got drunk during the dinner and that she wasn't interested in him romantically. The Times says the charges are fourth-degree assault with sexual motivation, fourth-degree assault, and reckless driving. And Capitol Hill's Schmancy Reserve Roastery is the latest Starbucks to vote in a union. Workers there said yes to organizing yesterday. More than 200 stores across the country have filed paperwork to unionize, and so far, more than two dozen have said yes. That's still a small fraction of the company's 9,000 stores. Happy Friday, everyone. Hope your weekend is ahead of you. Esme Jimenez is here, mental health reporter at the Seattle Times. Hey, Esme, good to have you.
Hey, Trish. How's it going?
Good, good. Andrew Walsh is here, too. He's a co-host of the TBTL podcast. Check it out. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
You bet. Seattle, you two, is getting a rare presidential visit today following a short stop in Portland. President Biden and his crew will be touching down here for Earth Day. Seattle Times says he's signing an executive order related to climate. Now, of course, he wants to talk about the infrastructure bill and the administration's efforts to combat inflation. We've got 6 months until the midterms. What do you two think we're really going to be talking about here?
That's a great question, Trish. I think that can be everything from health, economic health. That can be just public perception of, like, are we where we want to be? I think very quickly people are, like, still holding on to, you know, pre-COVID, this is what my life was like. Am I ever going to get back to that? And that's a very valid question. I very much empathize with that. I, too, am curious. But politically, I think that means that you're really measuring a number of things. And sometimes I don't think people are very good at measuring those things. With all due respect, my parents will be like, but gas was so much cheaper under so-and-so. And time and time again, I'll be like, I don't think those things are actually as related as you think they are, but I see why they're important to you. Likewise with grocery bills or housing costs. Like, those things are just so complicated, which I'm sure you all know as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, too. I mean, the inflation has got to be kind of priority number one, whether or not it's actually listed as priority number one. And of course, I don't know what gas prices are like in other parts of the country. But here we have the president coming to a place where it's like, I think you said this on your show the other day, Trish, like $5 a gallon now, right? I don't fill up all that often. However much control they actually have is dubious, but whatever they can put in front of voters to say we are doing our best to try to make this more affordable, because that is what everybody is just dealing with right now, insane prices.
Yeah. Yeah. His approval rating is kind of stinky right now, too. So it's questionable how much he can really even impact, you know, Democrats in the region, even though this is a very friendly area for Biden. I'll tell you what he's definitely going to be doing. It's messing up traffic. Traffic is going to be awful today.
Is it? This is a real question. I mean, traffic is going to be awful today because traffic is awful all the time, awful. Right? I feel, and I'm honestly just asking, I don't have any data on this at all. So this is perfectly in my wheelhouse. I'm just shooting from the hip. But I just sort of feel like every city I've ever lived in, people, especially people who support the opposing party, will always like roll their eyes and complain, like another trip from the president.
Andrew, I was a little bit behind this week because I've been head down on a different story. But so I got an email from the building people, and it was like, watch out for traffic because the president's coming. And I was like, the president's coming? Wait, the traffic? Like, is he coming to this building? Why is my building alerting me?
Right.
And then I looked on my own website and was like, oh, wow, I'm behind. There's a lot of important things happening here.
I think we got to warn the president about the traffic. I think that's the way the information should flow here.
Might be wise.
The last time a president came here was in 2016, and he campaigned for Jay Inslee and gave a speech at the State Convention Center, which, of course, was Obama. But I don't know. Maybe he'll do some touristy things while he's here. Throw on the aviators. Ride the Great Wheel.
Get on the ferry.
I don't know if this would be of interest to the president, but I do have an offer. And on the off chance that he would hear this, this is a sincere offer. Just a couple of weeks ago, I, for the first time in my life, became a member of a store called Costco, and I go to the one up in Shoreline, and I don't know if the president has ever had an opportunity to visit a store like that. It is mind-bending, as a lot of people know. If he flies, I'll buy. We can go up to Costco, maybe get some fancy Kirkland brand mixed nuts. I'll show him around, show him where he can get the big jugs of soap. And then I'm thinking, you guys know about Tubbs, the submarine sandwich shop in Lake City? It's like next to a vape store and a weed shop. Great sandwiches. I'm happy to take him there as well.
That's brilliant. Brilliant.
Can I come?
I know it. I know it. And you take him up to the Shoreline Costco, you avoid the Seattle soda tax.
Oh, that's right. Actually, that's right. You can gamble up there too. There are some card rooms. You know what? I have a lot of plans.
I think
you have an itinerary ready.
I think the president may have chosen the wrong city. I don't know. It sounds like it's more happening up in Shoreline than Seattle. Yeah. Anyway, no more mask requirements on public transit. I'm not sure how you're feeling about that, but this week a federal judge in Florida ruled health officials do not have the authority to enforce mask mandates on federal transportation, like airports, transit agencies. And of course, by Tuesday, Washington State Ferries, Sound Transit, King County Metro dropped their mask rules. Kitsap Transit, Lyft, and Uber also dropped their mask rules. Justice Department says it's going to appeal, so stay tuned. I'm keeping my mask on. I'm keeping my mask on. And a lot of people cheered this, and I get that too. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah, I get it. I think people should be able to make their own choices right now in terms of what they want to do. It has been a long 2 years. It also depends very much on environment. If you're, you know, a hospital worker versus a student at a school versus if you're an elder person, like there's just so many variables. I have not masked when I'm in my office, but that's also because it's pretty big. There's a lot of ventilation. It's not at capacity. It's not even at half capacity. So we're pretty spread out. When I'm on the bus, I put on my mask. And when I'm in the elevator and like one of my neighbors comes in, and especially if they're older and they're wearing masks, then I'll put on my mask as well. Just to me, it's a kindness. It's something where I'm like, I'll probably be fine if I get sick, but I don't know what that's going to mean down the line for anybody else.
I'm sort of the same way, although not. I just realized I wanted to group myself in with you guys. But the truth is, I am a rule follower. So when the rules said wear a mask, I wore a mask in whatever situations that were legally required. Right. And then as the mask mandate in bars and restaurants and what have you kind of went away, I did a thing where I was really just trying to kind of read the room. Right. So maybe this is where I'm a little bit like you. Like I would wear a mask in, especially for that first week of the no mandate, not talking public transpo here. I'm comfortable in public without my mask on, but I'm uncomfortable making other people uncomfortable, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, no.
And I haven't ridden the bus or the train yet since this mandate has kind of been repealed there, and I'm interested to see how many people are taking their masks off. I will say, the one kind of, and I don't want to come off as sounding anti-mask, the one thing that sort of solves for me in my own life, though, is now that masks weren't required in most places I was going, it became more and more of a risk that I would forget my mask if I was going to one of the few places where I was going to take a bus or something like that. Like being at the bus stop and being like, oh, no, where do I have a mask? You know, because when you're wearing it everywhere, you always had masks. So knowing that I won't be in trouble or hollered at if I get on a bus without a mask is kind of a relief to me.
Yeah, yeah. The thing that stood out for me, though, was that this was a legal decision, not a decision based on science. And So that's where I kind of came down. And I forgot my mask the other day, Andrew, when I went to the store and I was like, oh, well, all right, here we go. You know, it smelled like a hospital in there. Yeah. It was really weird. It was very stinky.
Yeah.
Weird ways that I had never anticipated the QFC in Northgate to smell like.
You forgot that there are smells in the world.
Seriously. And the bus and the public transit. I think I keep my mask on for just a little while.
Certainly.
Either way, I can totally respect the flight attendants. Did you see them dancing down the aisles, you know, with garbage bags? Put your masks in here. Get it. Would not want to be somebody trying to enforce a mask mandate, you know?
Right. That's hard.
That is true. I didn't think the optics on that were great. And again, and you now know where I stand on the mask thing. I'm not trying to make it sound like I'm holier than thou when it comes to this. But, and I really do feel for the people who had to, like you say, enforce this mandate when that's not part of their job description. The same with the vaccine card thing, you know. You're just somebody who's just like a server in a restaurant trying to get by during a terrible time to get by as a server in a restaurant, and now suddenly you're acting also as a bouncer. While I was for the vaccine requirement and the notification requirements and everything, it just was putting people in a really tough position. So I understand the joyfulness if that is going away as part of your job, but when you see that stuff on social media, and I was watching some recordings that people were making on flights as they were getting ready to take off, and the pilot sounding very snide and kind of making almost "Let's Go Brandon" style comments about the Biden administration's mask policy is finally going away. I declare this plane free, which is what one pilot said. Like, I feel
gross.
Like you still have people on those planes who are either vulnerable themselves or going home to somebody who's vulnerable. And the outward joy, I could understand how that would really make them feel terrible and kind of attacked.
Yeah. A very, very interesting scenario, Andrew. You're right. I mean, this mask debate has been so completely politicized to the point where there's no way we're getting out of it with everybody feeling okay, right? There's no way. And righteous indignation is just kind of gross. I'm sorry, man. When people are vulnerable, that just tweaks me in really bad ways. Anyway, speaking of getting tweaked, oh my goodness. The Mariners marketing department irritated fans this week by messing with one of T-Mobile Park's storied rituals. Since the 90s, since I was in college, fans have been conditioned to hear Louie Louie after Take Me Out to the Ball Game during the seventh inning stretch. Last week, they axed it, and moving forward, the plan is to swap it with Macklemore's Can't Hold Us. I have many thoughts about this, but Andrew, you're a Mariners guy, so tell me yours.
I am a Mariners guy. When I heard that Louie Louie wasn't played at opening day or the home opener, I wasn't particularly offended by that. I was like, that's fine. I've heard that song a lot. Like, I don't need to hear it again. And this is where I'm going to be a little bit mean, and I don't want to be mean, but when I heard it was replaced by Macklemore, that seemed really kind of cringy to me. I can't explain. It seems so inorganic and so Seattle to emphasize something that is local. And there's nothing wrong with celebrating local culture, but you know, you think of Sweet Caroline being played at Fenway Park. Like, there's nothing local about that. Neil Diamond was not a Bostonian. He was a New Yorker. The reason that Sweet Caroline is associated with that park is because years and years and years ago, somebody played it as a secret little nod to their friend who had a baby named Caroline, right? And then it just sort of eventually evolved and it became tradition. And I think Louie Louie had a kind of a similar path. And while I'm not some diehard fan of the song Louie Louie, it seemed more organic. It seemed more Pacific Northwesty in its kind of weirdness than kind of saying, hey, we're really listening to fans and they say they want an updated fan experience. And so we're going to go with, and then like flip back in your notebook, the last single from Seattle was by this guy, Macklemore. So I don't know. I'm being a little bit harsh, but I found it to be a pretty cringy choice and process.
I feel like we have two issues here, Andrew. The choice to change the song, which, you know, some people hate change, right? They do not, actually, maybe they love ritual more than they hate change, right? People love ritual. But, and then we have the second issue, which is the kind of meh choice, right? For Can't Hold Us, which is kind of an earworm, but was kind of an earworm back then. Do we need to bring it back?
Yeah.
Esme, what do you think?
I mean, I don't have a dog in this fight. I am not a sports ball person. I will completely admit that. That being said, like, I value tradition, but also another part of me is like, things will eventually change, whether that was, you know, this year or maybe 10 years from now or 20 years from now, where someone's like, Dad, why are we listening to this song? This song is like ancient, or like the quality is terrible. So I'm like, I mean, it's okay for things to change. It's not like you're changing the uniforms and the rules of the game, from my understanding, right? It's just the song that's played at one specific part. But maybe I'm totally dismissing how important the value of it actually is.
Well,
so forgive me for that.
Pageantry, right, is very important in sports. And Larry Stone at the Seattle Times talked to the Mariners head marketing guy, Kevin Martinez, and he said the decision was a result of a listening tour that they conducted with fans, and they talked to people about how to improve the fan experience, and music was one of the things that came up. So they say they're responding to fans, but I don't know. I will also wonder if Macklemore was the right choice, but who else? Could you see Pearl Jam in there? I mean, like, where are we going with this?
But again, does it have to be local? That's my thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's very much a Seattle mindset. And this is what it kind of got me thinking about, not even this particular thing, but like, why does, and I've lived in various cities, right? And obviously, if you're a city like LA or New York, first of all, you don't have to prove your cultural bona fides. And also a lot of, you know, a lot of just the pop culture comes from those types of centers, right? And so I understand if you're in a place like, I spent a lot of time in New Hampshire. So, you know, I can list probably right now every celebrity who's come out of New Hampshire, because you put so much pride in that, right? And Seattle is sort of somewhere in between. Seattle is a big city that has its own traditions. But I don't think that, you know, we're talking about the Kingsmen, Louie Louie. They're not a Seattle band, right? I think you mentioned this maybe, that it's actually was recorded in a Portland studio, and I think more of an Oregon band. But it was an organic thing that just sort of naturally happened. I mean, again, when you say like we went and we had a listening tour or whatever, like that's just like, that just screams of consultants to me.
Yeah, same. The marketing folks. Very well intentioned sometimes. Sometimes does not very much backfires. And I feel like you're kind of seeing that now. I was looking just at a number of tweets that were like, this is incredibly detrimental. Here are the memories that this is bringing. If that's what, you know, your actual audiences are saying, that's also a listening tour in some ways. A more organic listening tour.
Well, yeah, I guess, right? I guess. Well, maybe it's really just a brilliant distraction from the looming disappointment that the Mariners will bring us this year.
Don't.
Uh-oh. I'm going to get in trouble already.
Don't be that person. Hope springs eternal. It's too early in the season to be negative.
They're actually doing pretty well.
The headlines were always like, this is the year.
They're actually doing pretty well so far. As of this taping on Thursday, they've won 7 games and lost 5. So
it's way too early to be negative. And while I understand that people who've been rooting for this team a lot longer than me have had their hearts broken a lot more times than I have, I always get a little bit irritated when people are like, well, why would you even get your hopes up early in the season? I'm like, because why watch it? I mean, Esme, maybe you're right. Just stay out. Like, if you're not interested in rooting for the team, just don't be interested in the team.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy beer and going to the game. I want someone to explain to me what I'm actually watching. But I have a great time.
We are leaving it there. Thanks to our guest, Andrew Walsh. He's a co-host of the podcast TBTL, and Esme Jimenez, mental health reporter for the Seattle Times. Really appreciate you two. Thank you.
Thanks for having
me.
Yeah,
thanks.
Have a great weekend. Appreciate you listening. Caroline Chamberlain Gomez produced today's show. Matt Jorgensen does our theme music. I'm Patricia Murphy. Talk to you Monday. Have a great weekend.